Welcome to the Ringer NBA Show. This is the Monday Heat Check. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm John Gonzalez.
How are you doing, Gonzo?
Basketball.
Basketball is happening.
It never stops. It continues again.
Are you familiar with the musical Hamilton?
I feel like you've gotten a bad picture of me because before we started the show, I explained to you that like my pop culture intake basically grinds to a halt when the NBA season begins.
And I said that's why you're a great employee.
You did, but now I think that you think that I have this like super myopic worldview and somehow I'm unaware of Hamilton. Yes, I am aware of Hamilton.
Well, in the beginning of Hamilton, they're talking about how New York is the greatest city in the world because everything is happening there. For basketball purposes, LA is the greatest city in the world because everything is happening here.
True.
Including this past weekend, Chris Paul, former Los Angeles resident, returned with the Rockets to play the Lakers. And that was our number one headline, which is what's going on with the Rockets?
The Rockets are really good, as it turns out, Julia. We don't talk about them probably enough or not as much as Rockets fans would like.
What is with these fan bases that are like so salty about national media and not talking about them enough or not talking about them in the right way? Because the Rockets are one, the Jazz are one. Like there's certain fan bases just get really, the Blazers, they just get really pissed if you don't like give them their due.
Everybody.
I guess. Every
fan base.
But like Houston, you're the fourth biggest media market. Like you're a national market. We get it. It's fine.
So I think that this is a good way for us to start our overture to Rockets fans.
Yeah, let's get into it by
immediately attacking them. 9-1 over their last 10. They've won 7 in a row.
Chris Paul's back for the last 7.
Chris Paul is back. Their point differential, Juliet, is really amazing. They're winning on average by 11.4 points, which is tied for tops in the NBA with the Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
And as we saw with the Lakers game last night, handled them pretty easily. They're a good team. I mean, you said this before we began the pod, that you can't wait for, what is it, January 4th?
Warriors at Rockets.
Because we got that game at the beginning of the season, but that's not really a good...
It was the second game of the NBA season.
Can't gauge by that.
No, not at all.
So I'm excited for that too. But really, the Rockets, we have to really talk about them now as we've done a lot of, and a surprising development here at the Ringer, we've done a lot of conversations about the Boston Celtics and how they might match up with the Golden State Warriors. But I'm with you. I really want to see this Rockets team now with Chris Paul reincorporated and how they might, you know, go at the Golden State Warriors and how conversely Steve Kerr might try to match up his guys against them. This is an actual conversation now.
It's one of the like most intriguing matchups in the NBA.
Yeah.
If not the most, just because they both have so much shooting. I mean, that's what drives both of these teams. So it will be a shootout. Like I think we can expect it to be like 135 to 130 or something like that. But the Rockets problem has always been defense. And they're trying a lot harder on defense this year.
They are trying a lot harder. They've been much better, as has been pointed out to me by Rockets fans repeatedly.
Time and time again.
They are fifth in defensive rating, which
pretty
I don't
good.
Know. I don't know how they're doing it. I get that Clint Capella has been really good for them, and that's fantastic. It's still confusing to me how that Rockets team that plays at such incredible pace and is so good offensively has managed this.
Luka Mbamute is having a really good season, too.
Okay. Listen, people have made this point to me previously. Chris Vernon, when I filled in for KOC, because KOC was off doing amazing things, he had made that same point to me.
Well, here's why it's relevant.
Tell me.
Because obviously the team's success hinges on James Harden and Chris Paul.
Yes.
But like we've seen with the Warriors and basically every championship team, role players have to be better than role players. Like they need to be like, oh yeah, that they need to be like, you know, like a Ron Harper type. You're like, yeah, what a great role player. And you're like, yeah, okay, they're fine, but they really serve a purpose. And so if he's playing well and they can count on him for 15 points a game, then great.
He scored 3 against the Lakers.
He's averaging 7.7, but like when he pops off, you're like, oh yeah, good pickup by them.
All right, so this is another example of why I look at the Rockets and I still go, huh.
Okay.
This is kind of confusing to me because like Luke, I covered him in Philadelphia when he was with the Sixers. I saw him with the Clippers. Everybody loves him.
He's kind of like your Jay Crowder. Everyone who's had Jay Crowder on their team is like, no, he's not that good. But from afar, everyone's like, yeah, Jay Crowder, not bad.
He's great defensively. I mean, like Chris Paul absolutely loves him and says all the time, like, you know, I don't need guys to go out there and score points. I want you to get after somebody defensively. And Luke will do that, right? He can play good defense. I can't believe we're talking about Luke Mbamute this much in this podcast. This
Let's
is a 30-minute podcast.
Let's talk about James
What's
Harden.
What's happening right
Let's
now?
Let's talk about James Harden.
All right, tell me.
I think he's the runaway MVP candidate right now.
So that's interesting, too, because at the beginning of the season, it was all about Giannis. And then as the season has progressed, we went, okay, yeah, the Rockets are really good. James Harden is killing it. Could have been the MVP last year, if not for...
And 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, this might be his year. If it's not him, it's got to be LeBron right now.
Yeah. He's just playing really well. He also looks like he's having fun. There's video on Reddit of the Rockets after the Lakers game last night with Chris Paul and James Harden doing like a half court shot contest, like for fun, for $200. Like, that's a team that's having fun, which I think is more than we can say about, like, more fun than any, I think, Harden team minus the 2012 Thunder and any Chris Paul team ever before. I've never been like, yeah, that team with Chris Paul seems like they're having a great time. But they do. They seem like they're having fun.
I love the, have you seen, I'm sure you have seen the NFL video game commercial, the Madden commercial where the two of them are playing and Chris Paul keeps calling him and annoying him. That's kind of how I love that Chris Paul would poke fun at himself that way, but that's kind of how I imagine sometimes Chris Paul grating on his teammates and his teammates just trying
to. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's not happening this year. And you mentioned that they went out, right?
Yes, they went out last night to Nightingale, which is a hot club in West Hollywood.
I don't know what that is.
There was like a huge fight outside of it. It's
Oh, there was?
Yeah, but they weren't a part of it.
Okay.
So good for them. That's actually kind of like best case scenario if you're going to be seen at the club. It's like there's a fight going on and you're not involved. You're just like, this isn't for me.
All of these things that you bring to this podcast are important because I don't see any of them. Because I can only watch basketball and like walk my dogs and hang out with my wife. And so you tell me about like things that are happening in LA. Look, we live in this amazing city. I don't know anything about it.
TMZsports.com is like one of my most important websites.
I need you to funnel all of that to me. So they went out. They had a good time.
Yeah. And the other subplot that Sam Amick has brought to the fore today in the USA Today, and thanks to him for his reporting, is that Chris Paul still talks to DeAndre Jordan every day.
Every day. So this was really interesting. I saw Sam Amick. He's been in LA for a couple of days now. Through last week, he was running around with the Lakers. And
is he based in Sacramento? Did I make that up?
I don't know. I don't know. But if I see him again, if he's still in town, I will ask him where he's located and I'll pass that back to you. But I thought it was interesting because obviously the Rockets were here to play the Lakers, but this became a Clipper story because obviously Chris Paul back in town.
Well, I will say also Chris Paul set that up himself by giving ESPN that like fake document. It's only fake in that Chris Paul obviously just like filmed himself and knew it was going on. So I'm hesitant to call it verite, but he really kind of set this narrative himself by talking about how he disliked the culture and just wanted to get out of LA. So of course it's going to be a headline when he's back.
Yes. But the subplot of, I think the way that he steered it towards DeAndre, or maybe Sam specifically asked about it, but Chris was obviously happy to talk about DeAndre, how they're still really tight. Let's not forget what happened a couple of years ago when they had to go down to Houston and like sequester themselves in DJ's house and make sure that he signed back with the Clippers. And so in this story that Sam Amick had, he floated the idea of what if DeAndre Jordan ends up, if not at the trade deadline, then after the season in Houston with the Rockets, because again, DeAndre Jordan from Houston, potential free agent in the offseason. He's got a player option for $24.1 million.
It's
a lot of money. And people are automatically anticipating him opting out because of what's happening with the Clippers.
Right.
And I don't know. That's a lot of money. I guess he probably still gets that on the open market, but we said like how many teams need a DeAndre Jordan?
It's also difficult to gauge like if he goes somewhere, will he be willing to resign? So it's like kind of the Paul George problem that OKC just decided to take a flyer on, which is basically like if he's there for the rest of the season, is it a rental or will he stay? And do you want him to stay?
Yeah, and do the Rockets need and want a DeAndre Jordan? That's the other thing.
I don't know if they do.
I mean, Clint Capella's been really good for them.
Yeah, I know. If this team is working, they're kind of like unproven. Like, I don't know why you would make another like big in-season trade for them right now.
But it's an interesting idea.
Sure.
Like the story was fun to read. And
it's also just a really interesting narrative, like in terms of like more meta basketball. Like Chris Paul wanting you to know that he's still cool with DeAndre Jordan, clearly not cool with Doc. And for all that culture talk, like are we also supposed to think it's Blake? Like, I don't know. It's just an interesting mix of factors going on.
All things turning up CP3 right now in Houston.
Yeah.
On the opposite end, though, the team that they played last night here in LA, the Lakers, not quite as good. A week ago, after Larry Nance came back, Juliet, I was at Lakers practice, and Larry Nance was talking about how the Lakers still had their eye on that eighth spot.
Yes.
Which I thought was really ambitious of them. And since, not as good. Lost five in a row, including that game to the Rockets. Lonzo Ball didn't play the last 16 minutes of the game.
They lost a tight one to the Warriors as well.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
The Warriors were never going to lose that game.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny to listen to them after that game say, yeah, you know, we just had to like...
focus.
Right.
And what did it go to overtime? So you wrote Lonzo sat the last 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's call this what it is. Lonzo got benched.
Yeah.
Lonzo was benched. So He finished 0 for 4 with 2 points, just only 22 minutes played. This is tough for the Lonzo Hive. It's very discouraging.
It's been a weird season for him. Like the couple of triple doubles, you see these flashes and you think, okay, like, yes, he is the youngest player to do that. And he has some ability. But as I've maintained, you were at a game where you and I had the exact same takeaway. Like there was a Ringer Slack where people were going, man, Lonzo's good. And I was watching the game and I'm like, he doesn't look like he wants to be involved in the game. I like the way that he moves the ball, but that I think would be better suited to a team where you have a lot of really good pieces and there's like a coherent offense. Luke Walton says all the time, we don't have one guy,
right?
We have a group of guys who are still trying to figure it out. And as a result, you don't have like somebody who can take over the game. And Lonzo definitely doesn't ever look like he wants to do that.
No. And you know what's kind of weird about Luke Walton saying is that like they actually do, and it's Brandon Ingram, and like he's just not quite good enough yet.
Right.
But like the one person to invest in on that team,
it would be Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. And I think he just says that as like a PR move to like not count out Lonzo, basically.
But they're so young.
They're a mess.
They're still learning. And like, so I saw this quote from Tanya Ganguly from the LA Times last night, where Luke Walton was talking about how the turnovers are killing them and they're still trying to figure it out. And the part that like really popped off Twitter from what he said was, he said, we do drills. The players joke are like high school drills. They do these in practice, but that's what it's come to. He has to do high school drills with his kids. That says everything. I mean, like they are still kids, right? I mean, like they're 19 and 20 years old and they're still not getting it. And a year ago, I wrote a piece for The Ringer where it was like, hey, they're young and fun again. Now they're just young.
They're just young. It's kind of a bummer. And meanwhile, the Lakers have introduced the LeVar Ball rule, which is no friends or families behind the basket near the visiting tunnel are allowed to speak to the media after games.
Yeah.
So this is like taking away LeVar's pulpit.
Well, they did that. And then they were like really kind of cracking down a little bit. So if you go to a game and you're a media member, you can pretty much have free reign of most areas of the building. So now that one area is restricted. Now they're saying that this was a rule beforehand. They're just enforcing it now.
Right.
They never enforced it before. You could talk to pretty much anybody.
Right.
Now you're going to have to go to a different area to do it. But the other part that they've done in conjunction with it is during pregame shoot-arounds, and this is something you'll see if you're a media member or if you're a fan and you get there early and you'll see people like sitting around the court while the pregame warm-ups go on. Media members will sit basically where the team sits.
Right.
You can sit anywhere and just watch. The Lakers have now made that a restricted area on their end of the floor. So you can't sit near where the Lakers are doing their pregame shoot around. You'll have to sit somewhere else and look across the court.
It's a rocky start for the Rob Pelinka era, let me tell you. I haven't seen much of Rob lately. I would like more.
He's around.
Okay.
He hasn't been doing a lot of talking, but he's around. You see him, he's at practice a lot. He's hanging around before games a lot.
I think I'm going to go to the Christmas Day game, so maybe I'll see him there.
All right, I like it. I'm flying back that day. Maybe I'll meet you there.
Okay. I will say, they may be trying to take away the Staples Center pulpit, but LeVar Ball will still find a way to speak to the media, including we're going to have him on Sources Say on Wednesday, because I did a pre-taped interview a couple days ago, and he just says bombastic things, including what you will hear on Wednesday.
I can't wait to hear this.
I recommend tuning in for it. I very rarely tease my own work, but like it's LeVar Ball. And like, of course, he said wild things.
No, it's cross-promotional. I like this. The Heat Check Pod, big fan of Sources Say.
Oh, thanks, man. Really, really appreciate that. From the bottom of the league to the top of the league, the Cavs are back where they belong.
They've won 11 in a row. At the beginning of the year, you and I mildly worried.
I'm embarrassed. I just feel embarrassed. Like, why did I question LeBron James? It's never a good idea to bet against LeBron.
Yeah.
Unless it's the finals, then it's really 50-50. But still, just never bet against LeBron.
Never bet against LeBron James. Here's what we know about LeBron James. One, he doesn't care about the regular season to the extent that everybody else in the league cares about it, because he has already figured out that they're going to make it through and be fine. And two, once they do make it through the regular season and get into the playoffs, LeBron James is an absolute monster, and the Cavs become, or previously the Miami Heat, become a completely different entity because like the regular season is just the setup for him.
Right.
Once he gets in, like literally last year, they gave away top seeding in the East to the Celtics because LeBron James said, I'm going to sit down for the last couple of games and you can have the seed because it doesn't matter.
Totally.
And it didn't.
And it still doesn't matter. And if you're not voting for Harden, you're voting for LeBron for MVP right now. So he's still the best. And the other thing is like, they're old and their defense probably will be a problem in the playoffs against the Rockets or the Warriors and maybe even the Celtics. But it also means that they, like, these veterans who, like, won't let, like, an early season skid, like, submarine their whole season. So they're fine.
Yeah, they're back at it. And
they've won 11 in a row.
And they're gonna get Derrick Rose back. So I guess everything's fine.
I just wanna say all the reporting about the story has come from Woj.
Yeah.
And a little Dave McManaman as well.
I feel like there's a conspiracy afoot in your brain. No, tell me about it.
It's not a conspiracy, but it's just like it's not like this is a story that can be openly reported or easily reported. You basically have to have access to Derrick Rose and his representatives.
Which good luck on that.
Yeah, which is really hard. So on the one hand, I would say Derrick Rose is handling this story well. Like if you're not going to be with your team, get out in front of it and like talk about why. But on the other hand, we basically only have this information from one source. So I don't know. Just want to mention that.
It's a little curious, but what Woj is reporting, The Athletic said that Rose might be coming back.
Yes.
And then Woj says he is back.
He's on,
as of
on
today,
route, yeah.
The Cavs are basically saying that he's back. He's talking to his doctors.
The story also said that Rose is not really talking to anyone, but BJ Armstrong has been in close conversation with the team and Kobe Altman. So again,
if you're back, you kind of got to talk to people,
yeah,
I think.
At least talk to LeBron.
Also, and I said this to our producer, Isaac Lee, earlier, I think it's a little curious that in the Woj report, it says that Rose is going to talk to Cavs doctors and begin rehab on his ankle. Begin rehab.
Right.
So he's been out for a while.
He's not playing again for a while.
What was he doing while he was just sitting, like, was he just sitting around with a gimp ankle? Like, what was it? Like it was dangling off his leg and he wasn't bothering to treat it. This is all very curious.
Yes, it really is. Good luck to him, I guess.
But the Cavs back.
Cavs back. We're going to talk more about some big men in the NBA and more of what's going on in the league. But first, let's talk about our sponsors. Let me tell you about Framebridge. If you've ever seen photos of the Ringer offices or our podcast studio, you've probably noticed how nice our walls look. That's because our friends at Framebridge.com have custom framed everything, posters, photos, even sports jerseys. But you may not know that you can send one-of-a-kind gifts to everyone on your list with a custom framed photo from Framebridge. In a few minutes, you can upload a photo from your phone or computer and select a frame style. The experts at Framebridge will print and frame your photo, then deliver it where it needs to go with a handwritten gift note. Their clear pricing starts at $39 and all shipping is free. For truly one-of-a-kind gifts at a great price, go to framebridge.com and use promo code Ringer. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. And again, it's framebridge.com, promo code Ringer.
Stephen Curry is teaching an online masterclass to help you elevate your game. Masterclass produces online classes taught by the best in the world. Steph Curry's masterclass is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to learn from one of the greatest shooters in NBA history. In over 4 hours of movie-quality video lessons, Steph will teach you perfect shooting mechanics. This is great. Mine are terrible. Footwork and scoring techniques. Break down specific drills that will help make you a better ball handler. Analyze NBA game footage to improve your basketball IQ. Add new shots to your game. You'll learn how Steph Curry curls, pops, and fades off screens. Learn techniques to help you create space and beat defenders. This makes an amazing gift for the basketball player or NBA junkie in your life. If not Steph's class, choose from 30 other masters across a wide range of fields, such as writing, cooking, film, acting, and many more. Beautifully produced and carefully curated, Masterclass gives you access to the best at their craft, so you can master yours. Just in time for the holidays, Masterclass has launched the All Access Pass. With the new All Access Pass, you can unlock every class from over 30 masters, all for the price of just two. Ringer NBA show listeners can get Steph Curry's Masterclass for the All Access Pass at masterclass.com/NBA. Learn from the best in the world at masterclass.com/NBA. Once again, that's masterclass.com/NBA.
We're back. And we're back because we need to talk about your friend, Joel Embiid.
So this was a really interesting game. The Sixers hosted the Pistons, and there was a lot of back and forth previously. On Saturday night, there's a lot of disrespect by both sides, despite the fact that Embiid said no disrespect about Andre Drummond, but he can shoot.
That's like when you start a sentence with no offense, but it's like, okay, so
there's always
incredibly offensive. Yeah.
There was also some sound from Andre Drummond, who had some things to say about Joel Embiid.
So you looking forward to the battle tomorrow?
If he plays, you know, you might need another rest day.
Zing.
Yeah, he said that he's been playing for 6 years and he's missed maybe four or five games, which Isaac points out is inaccurate. He put that in our outline saying that Drummond missed 21 games his rookie year due to a stress fracture. But since then, he's been back. Yeah. I mean, like if you're going to sit out, that's a pretty good reason to sit out. But
back
since
pain's
then,
no joke.
Drummond has been really durable. That's right. Back pain, no joke. But also, Drummond's been really good this year.
Yes.
I mean, one of the big surprises in that he's hitting free throws. He's been a much better passer than people, I think, realize. He's leading the league in rebounds. He's been really good. Then Embiid kind of served it to him. Like he had a really
okay,
good game.
Sixers homer.
He had a really good game, 25 points and 10 rebounds. Drummond was good too. I mean, but Drummond fouled out.
This is a good line, though. It's 14, 11, 6, 5, 1, 6 for 8 from the line. That's an incredible line.
He had an incredible line, but he also fouled out. Did you see what Embiid did when he fouled out?
I think he gave him some directions.
I screen capped it and tweeted it out in case you care to go back and look at it. But basically, he just pops into frame. It was perfect timing. It was almost like he knew where the camera was. He popped into frame like he was directing traffic at the airport and started pointing to the exits as he fouled out. And the crowd, you know, of course, ushered Drummond off the court. But it was a fantastic game. And then afterwards, they hugged it out. It was fun.
That's nice. That's the kind of rivalry I enjoy. Like, talk shit, mm-hmm. play hard, and then, you know, have a handshake and move on. And then we'll see you again for the next matchup.
So after the game, though, Juliet, like, Joel Embiid, not lacking for confidence, he goes on NBA TV and he's talking about this rivalry and how the two of them were like going at each other beforehand, but then they were fine afterwards. And he was asked what he thinks of himself and where he falls in the pecking order.
Who's the best big man in all of basketball?
I mean, you're looking at him right here. I deal with them both ends, defensively, offensively. Some people might have some other opinion about it, but I know that I am, and I know that people are saying that now because, you know, I do on both ends.
He does it on both ends, Juliet.
He does, though. Correct.
So this brings us to an all big man edition of Real or Not Real.
Yes.
Big. That was probably the last movie I saw big. it's been a long time. Basketball doesn't stop. So Embiid says he's the best big man in the NBA. Juliet, real or not real, is he? A lot of people in the mix here. You got DeMarcus, Porzingis, Anthony. We're using big men as power forwards and centers.
Sure.
Karl-Anthony Towns, who I guess has decided to never play defense again. Mm-hmm. Drummond.
Really weird Towns season. Really weird.
Yeah.
He's definitely headed to a new team, is my take.
What?
I mean, like, if not, like, definitely not in a trade, but, like, in free agency. I don't see him staying in Minnesota.
Interesting.
JMT is just my thoughts.
They can't move on just yet, but what about, there's Jokic, Gobert is coming back. Where do you put Embiid in this
mix? Here's
the
thing about Embiid. I don't know if I'm willing to say best. Like, I think Boogie is, like, really unimpeachable. However, if I'm building a team and I'm starting over, of course I pick Embiid.
Yeah, I think if the question is for right now, I don't know that I'd take Embiid like right now in this moment because DeMarcus Cousins is having a banana season.
I would rather have Boogie like for the rest of the season.
For right now.
But for the next 5 years, I'd rather have Embiid.
For the future, moving on, it's Embiid all day, every day because he's like his talent is so outsized. And let's not forget, he hasn't even played a full season in the NBA yet.
Drummond hasn't forgotten. Don't worry.
It's insane what he's been able to do in such limited action and the idea of what he could do if he does stay healthy. It's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited, Juliet. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's really fun. The Sixers remain fun. DeMarcus Cousins is better than Anthony Davis. Real or not real?
It's real.
Oh, definitely real. So news today from the Pelicans is that Anthony Davis's MRI was negative, which was good. So he's day-to-day. But like, I don't know. He gets hurt so much.
All the time.
He's almost on the Embiid level.
Over the weekend, various reports had him alternately in a wheelchair and on crutches for a groin injury. So like, it's really unfortunate. He's had such like a wide scope, a wide array of injuries in his career. And it happens every season. I mean, you just wait to hear what the next one is with Anthony Davis. And it's a real shame because he is so talented. And those two guys together, I wasn't sure about that fit last year. I really like the way that the Pelicans have handled their team this year. And the Pelicans are a legit contender in the Western Conference.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I don't mean legit contender to win the Western Conference.
I mean, playoffs.
Like, they're going to be in the playoffs or at least look like they're pushing in that direction. And I think that's interesting because I don't think a lot of people had the Pelicans
we had them like 13th in the conference in our preseason rankings.
Right. They're in the eighth seed as of our conversation right now. So it's not like they're firmly in the Western Conference playoffs, but I look at the way the West is shaping up. You've got the Jazz, they're going to get Gobert back. Who knows what to make of the Oklahoma City Thunder? And after that there's a massive drop off.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they have to fade one team basically.
I think they could do it. And also, it would be cool if Boogie was the one who carried them there.
As opposed to everybody saying, like, at the trade deadline, Boogie is gone, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Like, that's what we've been bracing for all season long.
No, I don't think he'll get traded.
Now I look at it and go, I think you got to hold on to Boogie and see what happens. He's been really good.
Can I ask you just for a gut check?
Please.
Among our Heat Check pod, who's the next super top 25 player to get traded?
This is tough.
Just what's your first answer?
A top 25 player?
Could it be Marc Gasol?
Oh, This is good. See, you're setting me up, and I wasn't even thinking about it. Marc Gasol would be great. Yeah. Marc Gasol would be perfect. I'm actually advocating for it. Real or not real that the Grizz should tank and trade Marc Gasol? I'll answer the question. Yes, they should do both of those things. The Grizz have completely fallen apart in the absence of Mike Conley, who, by the way, I guess like my Philadelphia accent came out last week.
You're saying Connolly.
I was saying Connolly, and I couldn't help myself. But anyway, Mike Conley being out has really tanked the Grizz. They might as well just embrace it. They got rid of Fizdale. It's been absolutely brutal. Marc Gasol needs to go somewhere else.
Yeah, he's got to get out. Also, what a weird franchise. They have the whole ownership thing going on now.
They're selling the team. And
they have one of the worst contracts in the league with Chandler.
They've got Chandler Parsons. They need to hit the reset button hard. And Marc Gasol is too talented to just sit there and flounder. I would like to see, and this is like really like pie in the sky, because as you mentioned to me, there's no possible way for this to happen, but double Gasol, man.
Yeah, let's get him to San Antonio.
Get him to San Antonio with the Spurs. How much fun would that be?
It would be awesome. I would love to see that. It also, I'm interested to see where David Fizdale goes next. He's pretty beloved in the league. Like, first of all, he has a LeBron cosign. He was a major part of the Heat championships. Steve Kerr defended him on the BS pod.
Yes.
Like, people like him. So I wonder if he will hold out for the next open, could he be the Clippers coach or something? Or will he just become an assistant somewhere?
Yeah, when Kerr was on with Simmons, he like just could not have been more effusive in his praise about Fizdale.
Yeah, he's really well-liked.
Except for by Marc Gasol, apparently.
Yeah. Let's move on to our Heat Check.
Boom shakalaka! He's heating up! He's on fire!
All right. Couple of players we need to check in on here. Mm-hmm. First of all, Mr. Austin Rivers, what a week he had last week. First of all, he got engaged. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Second of all, he injured his teammate, the star of his team, Blake Griffin. They were playing the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
It was not the Lakers' fault, even though that's what Doc was saying. So he injured Blake, who's now out up to 2 months per Woj. And then he got fined $25,000, which is a lot for any human. Mm-hmm. It's like a pretty sizable fine in the NBA, particularly when you're Austin Rivers and it's not like you're a max player. And he was fined because he cursed at a fan in a loss to the Jazz at home. So it was a fan in Los Angeles.
This is my favorite part about this whole thing. Like, I get players get upset. Mm-hmm. It happens. Everybody's human. Sometimes you lose your temper. But when I saw that he had gotten fined, I was like, oh, you know, I missed this. So let me go back and figure out when it happened. And I saw the Jazz and I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't they play the Jazz at home? It would be one thing if he got into it with a fan on the road. Like, remember last year when the Thunder were in Philadelphia and that guy was giving the double bird to Russell Westbrook and Russell Westbrook got into it with mm-hmm. the guy? And I'm like, okay, well, like, Philadelphians are assholes. Yeah. Like, I get it. You're on the road. That happens. He was at home.
Incredible. I would like to track. So good. I don't know if we can do this, but I would like to track which team has the most fights with their fans at home. And it's got to be the Clippers, right?
I don't know. Poor Clippers fans. Like, what do you have to...
I feel
that's part of the reason why I feel so bad for Clippers fans, because if you're a Clippers fan, one, you've chosen this life of misery.
Yeah.
Right? You've like chosen to be the second team in your own town. And Isaac, our producer, is one of these Clippers fans who's one of only two Clippers fans I've ever met in my life. And he was describing to me their main rivalry. And I'm doing air quotes right now. And he was saying, like, it's the Memphis Grizzlies.
Because it took about 2 years in the playoffs.
Right. But you had to think about it. And I was like, really? And I'm like, that's such a sad statement about Clippers fandom.
All of their rivals have moved on. In the Grizzlies' case, they've moved on to like internal problems, and with the Warriors, they're just like too good. They beat them every time for the last like 14 games. So, whatever.
If you're the Clippers, you'd want a beef or a rivalry, and they can't even find one.
They can't get one.
Speaking of beef, this is my transition. Nerlens Noel, Juliet. How great is this?
Is it all beef or is it partially pork?
I don't know. It could be kosher. We don't even know. During the game the other night at halftime for the Mavericks, this is so great, he decided he was hungry and he went into the press mess and got himself a hot dog at halftime.
And he was the only Mav on the roster to have a DNP CD.
Yeah, so he said that he needed energy for the second half, even though he was most likely not going to play and did not play. And he gave a statement afterwards and, you know, he apologized. He said he should be smarter about it and send a ball boy next time.
I'm going the other way on this. I'm on Team Nerlens Noel. Like, what did he do? Like, do you know why he's so hated by Rick Carlisle and by the Mavs?
I don't know. And here's the other thing. So Rick Carlisle, like, afterwards set up like this media redemption for Nerlens Noel, where he's like, you're going to apologize. Rick Carlisle was standing next to him while it was happening and giving him like a weird look. But then he made a joke about it and said, I'm going to set Nerlens Noel up with like a local hot dog restaurant and maybe he can get an endorsement. So he was like kind of making light of it. It's such an odd relationship.
It's so weird. And I actually don't know why it's not more like studied or like people aren't more angry about it. Like, should we have the same sympathy for Noel that we have for Okafor? Neither are played by their teams. Noel's better than Okafor. Noel could contribute. He's not.
Oh, Noel's infinitely better. I really like him. Like,
what's his sin? Like, if I'm the union,
I guess not taking that deal. I guess like making the Mavs wait. That clearly pissed them off. Look, you can't tell me that he can't help that team because he is a much better passer than people understand. He can run the floor. He can protect the rim. He's not a good shooter, but he doesn't slow the offense because he knows he's not a good shooter.
He's not like some end of the bench guy though. Like this is
no. It doesn't make sense.
If I was the MBPA, I'd be like, what is going on here?
I don't know. It's a very...
I obviously don't have all the information. I don't think anyone does outside of the Mavs organization. But it's a really weird one to me that I actually am surprised more people aren't like angry about.
It's a very strange situation. I do, however, love and fully endorse him going in and getting a hot dog. Which, by the way, this happens more than people realize. Not at halftime, but frequently, like when I'm in where the media gathers for their pregame meal, players will come in. Like last year when Rudy Gobert got hurt. Mm-hmm. And they were playing the Clippers in the playoffs, he ate dinner with us a couple times.
Love it.
I was just sitting down at a table and I looked up and all of a sudden Rudy Gobert was at my table. And I guess because the pregame meal was like not enough for him in the Jazz locker room. So he came and joined us.
The most legendary pregame eater is Dirk, who walks in with his plate, like holding a plate with like the foil over it.
Oh yeah. You got to make sure it's tented and stays hot.
Two more quick ones. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, I think the refs, we might need to put them on notice. A lot of ejections. KD, Sean Livingston, LeBron, Anthony Davis. There was the double ejection of Jokic and Malone. The Jokic one was later rescinded. Just like quick trigger fingers here.
Yeah, a little odd.
I just wanted to note it. And lastly, when the Warriors visited the Heat, I believe that was yesterday, mm-hmm. someone asked KD about playing Dion Waiters. And he just was like so full of mirth and happiness talking about his old teammate. And he said, I got a mansion on Waiters Island. I own some property. Shout out to Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe, the originators of that meme.
KD is in on it.
I actually love KD's love for Dion. He's talked about it with Bill on that pod before, and I think it's like a very sweet relationship.
I love Dion. Big fan.
Philly guy. This week in basketball, tonight we have Bucks at Celtics.
That's a fun one. Then we also have Golden State Warriors at Pelicans. That would have been obviously more interesting with Anthony Davis in the mix, but Boogie unleashed by himself.
I have a prediction.
Go ahead. Tell me.
Jordan Bell's going to try to like do something to like prove himself against Boogie, and Boogie's just going to destroy him. And I'm looking forward to it. I think Jordan Bell needs to be taken down a notch.
Careful when you test yourself against Boogie.
Exactly.
Also, the Pistons on a 2-game losing streak trying to bounce back against the Spurs. And we think we're getting closer to Kawhi returning. Probably not tonight, but maybe soon.
Yeah, I hope he comes back soon. And then Saturday, Rockets at Blazers.
Rockets at Blazers. You skipped over Thursday.
Lakers at Sixers. But this is going to be a blowout. Sixers are going to win by a lot.
Well, it's the revenge game possibly for the Lakers losing here in LA when Embiid had that monster line, the 46-15, 7-7 line. So that should be a fun one too.
Yeah.
That's on Thursday.
We're in a good season with the league right now.
We're really moving along. We're hitting our stride.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for listening. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm John Gonzalez.
We'll be back next week and listen to the Ringer NBA show all week long.
Sources say on Wednesday with LeVar Ball.
Very strange. Okay. Hope everyone enjoys that one, and I hope you enjoyed this.